And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Time for our final picks cast of the season. Yes, we know it is sad, but we are so excited for Alabama and Clemson. So you know that I've got Robbie Cowland and Tom Fornelli, and we are here to break it down for you. Make sure that you are subscribed. If for some reason you are not already to the SEC on CBS podcast, that's the way you get these shows first. And enjoy the final picks cast of the 2016-17 season. Final picks cast of the 2016-17 season. We have lit the candles. We have sung the ceremonial hymns. Our invocation is done, and it's time to get down and dirty with Alabama and Clemson Part 2. Gentlemen, Tom Fornelli, Robbie Cowland, how we feeling?
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, good. We
solid.
Feel good.
We'll go good and solid.
All right. I am feeling outstanding. I am fired up for this game, this unprecedented rematch. Never in the BCS era did we get the same two teams in back-to-back years. And here in year three of the college football playoff era, we already have it. Clemson and Alabama. Can't nobody say nothing to the Tide and the Tigers over the last 2 years. They've been the best teams. Before we get to our game picks, which will be coming up in just a little bit, specific score predictions. I hope everyone's ready for that. 69-61, Alabama, naturally.
Nice.
Let's go. Let's look back at the semifinals. We did not get a chance to really review the wreckage. I wanted to build it into this one. First game, Alabama, Washington. One thing about Alabama that won't be for the title game is Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin has been allowed to leave / dismissed by Nick Saban. And, Tom, how much of Alabama's offense, in my opinion, did not look good against Washington for much of the game? Bo Scarborough, individually, minimal. We're not used to seeing him in the first quarter. I thought bringing him out in the first quarter was downright mean. He's not supposed to come out until after halftime. Mean. But he powered most of the offense. Jalen Hurts didn't have a great game passing the ball. Are we going Washington defense gets credit or Alabama offense should be concerned based on that performance?
First of all, I enjoy you saying that Lane Kiffin was allowed to leave. I don't know how much say he really had.
Well, I mean, I liked mutual decision. You know, I don't know how mutual it was, but
it was a mutual decision where Saban said you should go and Lane Kiffin said, okay. It was mutual. I'm giving credit to Washington's defense. I understand Alabama fans that were kind of upset with the play calling because they weren't running the dang ball as much as Alabama fans would like you to run the dang ball.
It is impossible to run the dang ball enough to satisfy the Alabama fans.
Yeah.
But if you throw one pass.
You've done.
What the hell are you doing?
If that thing goes incomplete, that's my favorite thing is Tom, I don't mean to cut you off, but I was in the press box. We were on top of the Alabama side. And if there's a completed pass, they're, you know, clapping happy. But the moment they throw the football and it hits the ground, there are obscenities being flung Lane Kiffin's way. It was one of my favorite parts of the game. It was beautiful. Anyway, continue.
No, I think that a lot of it, at least from the Alabama side, and I guess, you know, it's deserved, but the arrogance, like you just mentioned, where if there's an incomplete pass, it's a bad call. I feel like anytime Alabama's offense struggles, the initial reaction is to be that, oh, there's something wrong with the play calling. It's not the fact that Washington has a very good defense. Washington has one of the best secondaries in the country. Washington has good linebackers. Washington has a good defensive line. To me, the reason Alabama's offense struggled is because it was facing a better defense than it may have faced outside of LSU and trying to think of who else, maybe USC's early in the year, but USC's wasn't really on that level quite yet. It might have been the second best defense they faced in reality all season long.
A defense full of pros. I mean, we got Buda Baker, Elijah Balls.
Yeah, how many of them just announced they're going pro the other
four.
Day?
Four.
Yeah. Yep. So there was some problems with the play calling. I'll agree. They should have run the ball more than they were. And at times I was wondering why they weren't, but it could have just been the fact that they didn't think they could.
Well, my thing is as much of that, the frustrating part watching it for me was they kept running Jalen Hurts and it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. I really had no problem with the split. They ran the ball a good bit more than they tried to pass it. A lot of those were designed Jalen Hurts run plays. And he also – Jalen Hurts still will miss reads. And so
– Yes.
I will not lean too hard on the play call because in the press box, like you can see, you know, it's kind of a little all 22 type view. And there were a number of times where you would see somebody with a hand raised going down the middle of the field or on the opposite side of, and Jalen Hurts just wasn't getting through a read and he'll do a half field read and then tuck it. Which part of that is because Washington was getting pressure and, but there were just times where he was just flat out late to getting back to the backside and he doesn't get through his reads particularly well in a downfield passing, you know, a traditional downfield passing look. If he's got to go 1, 2, 3, 4 across the field, he often will not get to 4 and a lot of times won't get to 3 either. So there are a lot of times he does that and he'll tuck it, but they also just design ran him a lot. And I didn't – the way they were running with the power game with the running backs, I was – that was the part that bothered me the most was the design runs for Jalen consistently. I know he's a solid runner, but he also runs that with that – like a loaf of bread sometimes, the ball out there. He'll drop it. I would prefer to see them hand it off more in a traditional running game. I think that was the biggest issue. I had no problems with the pass play calling. Hurts needs to be better.
No, I think Hurts is Hurts. You know, like credit Washington, sure, but also I think the game and Alabama's offense not looking good revealed a Jalen Hurts that has much better football ahead of him. You know, this is just like the time and space that he's in. Oh yeah, that is the terrifying thing.
That's the terrifying thing. It's like this dude with another full offseason. And then, you know, Sark can coach the QBs, and they're going to work with him on getting those reads and being a better passer. That's the scary part. He's going to have a whole offseason with the ones. That's what's scary, is they're already this good, and he's already that good, and he's just going to get better. But, no, I totally agree. I think Washington defense deserves a lot of credit, but I don't think the play calling was nearly the issue that people led with. Washington's defense is just really good, and Hurts missed some throws. There's also a couple drops. O.J. Howard had a big drop on one of the late drives that put him in the third and long. So I don't really think the play calling was that big of an issue.
Well, is the offense's struggles against Washington? You know, forget the Lane Kiffin, forget play calling. Let's look at the bodies that are in place, the coaches that are on the sideline. Are you expecting Alabama's offense to be able to establish a dominance? Robbie, you first on this one. Do you think Alabama's offense will be able to establish a dominance against Clemson? And if so, how does it happen?
I'm really interested to see what they do this year. I think we saw last year they came into the game with a very defined plan on how to attack Clemson, and that was through using O.J. Howard and attacking the safeties. I think they know that Clemson, again this year with Tankersley, they've got good corners. And I think last year the goal was to attack the safeties. Will they go back, kind of lean on a similar plan? I think you're going to obviously see them try to do something different because you don't want to go back to the same film because you know Clemson's going to be watching that a lot. But this year they have the running quarterback threat. And
Jake Coker, not a running quarterback.
So I'm interested to see if how they attack that and how they try to mix things up and give. I would not be surprised if they look a lot of that Louisville tape and try to hit Clemson because they have such an aggressive defensive front, such a good defensive front. Wouldn't surprise me if they try to lean a good bit on the read option game, a little more than we see from Alabama. You know, they like to mix it in. I think that becomes a more prominent part of the offense this week in an attempt, at least early in the scripted offense. I think you're going to see a good bit of that, and then they'll adapt from there. But that would not surprise me if they lean on the read game and try to hit some pop passes to O.J. Howard and stuff as the game wears on. I think that's going to be one of the ways they try to attack this Clemson defense, because on its own, Clemson's defensive line is so good that they can attack this Alabama offensive line, which has been good. But in pass protection, they still have some issues. This is a much better run-blocking offensive line. It's what they're built for. It's what the guys are recruited for. And then pass pro against the Carlos Watkins and those boys, you got your hands full with the way they attack. And I think the read option, some screening, and then the pop pass is going to be the way they try to neutralize that.
Will be very interesting to see if they pick on the safeties. Tom, I thought that from Clemson, Ohio State, again, as we look back to the semifinals, Clemson's 31-0 win. The key, one of the keys to me was Clemson's ability to stifle the Ohio State running game. And one of the ways they were able to do that is that they played those safeties, Jadar Johnson being one of them, first all ACC first team guy. They didn't play more than like 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. They were basically daring JT Barrett to beat them over the top, knowing that that is not something that Ohio State had done this year. So in that sense, if they were to bring the same game plan, they could be vulnerable if their safeties don't have that good. Oh, give it to me. Eye discipline. How do you see?
There we go.
How do you see the Alabama offense versus Clemson D matchup going?
I think I agree. I think Clemson played Ohio State the absolute perfect way to play them, because, like you said, Buckeyes have no deep threat this year, and JT Barrett hasn't had a chance to beat anybody over the top. So why keep your safeties back when you could just come in and try to stop Curtis Samuel and JT Barrett? And you have a defensive line that's absolutely mauling Ohio State's offensive line on every play. As far as how it compares to Alabama, I agree with Robbie. The safeties are the weakness for Clemson on this, and I think the one thing that's different is Alabama can test your safeties. Now, Jalen Hurts is not – he's not the most, you know, efficient passer throwing deep, but the fact of the matter is they have receivers that can get deep on you. They have receivers that if you leave them one-on-one on the outside, they can beat you. Guys like Calvin Ridley, they can get past you and force you to, you know, cover the entire field, which in turn opens it up for the running game and O.J. Howard underneath. So I expect to see a whole hell of a lot of that going on in this game. And I think Alabama's offense will be more successful against Clemson than it was against Washington, simply because of the difference in the secondary. Because Washington, while there were breaks that, like Robbie said, Jalen Hurts missed, Washington's secondary, for the most part, was at least able to keep things in front of them, and it allowed them to slow it down and allowed them to slow Jalen Hurts down. And I'm not sure Clemson has the safeties that are strong enough to do that.
Yeah, and also being able to wrap up a Curtis Samuel or a Mike Weber, though as slippery as they are, is still much more manageable than the 6'12", 450-pound Bo Scarborough.
Yeah, I mean... It's one thing when you're not able to catch a guy. It's another thing when you do catch the guy and there's nothing you can do about it.
Man.
That was mean.
Bo's just that dude. El Tractorcito Jr. out there. I'm with Tom. I think I do expect him to look at safeties. And again, I think we saw last year they turned O.J. Howard loose at – you can attack them up the seams. You want to go at the seams at Clemson because that's where the safeties are, that's where the linebackers are, and they are so hell-bent on getting pressure and stopping the run and stopping screen game. You know, you use the screen game to kind of slow down the pass rush, but you can't be like Ohio State and just keep going to the screen game. That can't be your entire offense because they flow to the ball. They're fast as hell, and they attack downhill. The reason you do that is to get the defensive line off balance so that they're not consistently flying upfield on you and they have to think about going side to side. But if all you're doing is going side to side, Clemson will let you, and they'll tack you for 2 or 3 yards every play. We saw that Curtis Samuel hit the over very easily on catches for that game. He was projected 5.5. I think he got 9, but he didn't have any big yardage because they're throwing him side to side, little shovel passes, little screen balls. And Clemson's happy to let you do that because they got athletes that can chase you down. I agree with Tom. If Alabama can attack up the middle of the field in the deep passing game with kind of skinny posts and seams and those sorts of things with Ridley, with O.J. Howard, who's, you know, a very good athlete at the tight end position, I think that's the way you go at them. But like I said, I think it starts with the read attack. It starts with the screens and then evolves beyond that to pop passes and some play action over the top.
And you know what happens if you try to go side to side on Clemson's defense?
What?
they'll get four fingers deep on you.
Oh!
Oil change.
So before we move to what I believe, I mean, just the most fun part of Alabama is its defense. And the most dangerous, while I am head over heels in love with Clemson's defensive line, you cannot deny that Deshaun Watson. So before we get to that, quick question here. So this is like an interesting wrinkle in prop bets that I just thought of, Robbie, because the fly sweep is technically registered as a pass.
That's correct.
That has to...
The little toss forward, yeah.
Yeah, the little toss forward, which basically looks like... You know, in action, it looks almost like a handoff. It is barely a handoff. That's got to impact your receptions if you know that the fly sweep is part of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I took the Curtis Samuel over. It wasn't because I thought they were going to attack down the field, because Ohio State hasn't really attacked down the field against a good team all year because they just don't have the faith in JT Barrett to do it.
I don't think it's faith in Barrett.
I think it's Noah Brown is only good.
I think it's they don't have the receiver.
Well, that's true. That's fair. But they haven't done it, and you knew they were going to go side to side. You knew they were going to be in need of getting something outside the tackle boxes because you can't just live in there with that Clemson defensive line trying to run the ball. So yeah, absolutely, you factor that in, and that's why I thought the screen game and the little shovel pass game. And you also have to know who's calling plays. Urban Meyer loves those shovel passes.
Loves them.
Because what it does is if you do a handoff, even if it's a forward handoff, if it's a handoff, I'm pretty sure it could still be a fumble. If it comes out of the quarterback's hands in any way before the guy catches it, it's a forward pass. So it's a less dangerous way to get those things off because it's a forward pass, and if it drops, it's incomplete. So you got to know who's calling the plays and who's doing that. And with Urban, you can always count on shovel passes in a big game. He loves those things that are low risk. He wants to avoid turnovers. But he wants to get those speed guys involved behind the line of scrimmage in essentially run packages. He did it with Percy at Florida. He does it with Curtis now. He did it with Braxton when he was an H-back. They love to do that sort of stuff. So I think you absolutely have to factor that in for receptions and completions. It's the reason why I went with Jake Browning's over last week, is because I knew Washington wasn't going to be able to run the football against Alabama. So how do you attack Alabama if you can't run it? Well, you can't throw downfield all the time. So you got to work screen passes. You got to work little essentially extended run plays, which is little throws to the flats and flares and things. So – yeah, it's all about figuring out the matchups and what somebody's going to have to do. And against Alabama, it's pretty easy. I think you take the over on completions.
Tom, do you think that Clemson is going to be able to run the ball on the Tide?
Yeah, but I mean, statistically, I think at the end of the game, Clemson will have run the ball on the Tide. It's the question is how much of that is going to be Deshaun Watson and how much of that is actually going to be designed runs by Wayne Gallman and company. I don't know how successful they'll be able to do it in their actual run game simply because nobody's really successful running the ball against Alabama. I think what we'll see.
You just happen to have yards in the, and no one knows how it happens. It's like, oh, look, there's yards in the box score.
Gaskins came at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Three quarters of Gaskins' rushing yards were on that last drive where he had like 18 or 20. Because
Alabama's in like a shell zone coverage and just giving.
There's a minute left and they don't care, and they know they're going to attack you for 5-6 yards of play. So that's always fun when you have the under prop is watching those plays happen, but that's still cashed.
But yeah, so I think like Clemson's going to get yards on plays where, like we saw against Ohio State, where Sean just takes off. And he puts together a big play because Deshaun, he has a tendency in the big games, he runs a lot more. He's more willing of a runner. When Clemson's playing a team it's supposed to beat, he wanted to stick in the pocket and, you know, show how he's a, you know, pro passer and all that kind of stuff. But when the chips are down and they're in the nitty gritty and they really need to play and they need to get a touchdown, that's when Deshaun gets a little more loose with the ball. That's when he'll start taking off and he's going to be in a lot more situations like that. And I think Clemson would be stupid not to utilize it because he's their greatest weapon on offense. So if he doesn't have anything there through the air, you better take off and get us some yards just to at least keep the defense somewhat honest.
Something I'm looking for is that was a big part of their offense last year was Watson breaking the pocket and getting out. I think it was something Alabama wanted to do. I think when you watch Clemson towards the end of the year last year, you saw Watson standing in that pocket and delivering balls down the field, and you were sitting there thinking, oh, no, like we can't let him just sit back there comfortable. I think this year they're going to have a different game plan. I think they're going to want him to stand back there because he's thrown the interceptions. We've seen that he's been throwing interceptions even when stable in the pocket. I don't think they're going to try and heat him up and make a move because they couldn't catch him last year. I think they had a bit of a hubris about them where they're like, we've been able to catch any running quarterback. Well, Deshaun's a different kind of cat. He's big, so you can't just arm tackle him like most small guys when you get there. You have to hit him. He'll break you, but he's also got the speed and those long legs that he can get away from the defensive linemen.
He's a gazelle.
So I think this year what you're going to see is don't expect Tim Williams to be really arcing hard around the outside. Look for him to hit the inside move some. Look for him to kind of try to press a pocket depth and hang there. I don't think they're going to send guys all the way around to flush him out this year. I think you're going to see Ryan Anderson and Tim Williams be expected to hold a certain depth in the pocket, about 5 to 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage at 7 yard drop depth, and then flatten out and come in and pinch back down to prevent those opportunities and make Deshaun drop back, stay back, because you know you're going to get that inside push from Payne, from Jonathan Allen, from all those big boys in the middle. And I think they're going to try and keep him more in the pocket, take away that thing, because you're not going to just run the football in Alabama. Like Tom said, you have to attack them in kind of a unique manner, and a lot of times that comes from scrambles and stuff. I think Alabama's going to be prepared for that and say, look, can you beat us throwing the football from the pocket? We're going to get some pressure, but we're not going to sell out for sacks if that leaves us vulnerable to the run game.
Yeah, see, that's going to be one of the interesting things to watch, is because just the way that they've been coached throughout not just the entire season, but since they got to Alabama, you talk guys like Tim Williams, their jobs are go get the quarterback. Yeah. And now we're going to see him in a situation where they're going to be like, whoa, no, let's worry more about contain instead of going right at him. And it's going to be interesting to see how a bunch of guys who have been coached to go, if they're going to be able to go at half speed kind of and have to worry about contain more than just get the quarterback.
But I think we've seen this year, though, that I think the difference is a guy like Jonathan Allen and the way he's playing this year, the way he's recognizing things. I go back to the play that stood out to me of all the plays in that Washington game was when Jonathan Allen was at right defensive tackle, and he pushed forward, then scraped across and caught Gaskin on the screen as Gaskin was catching the football. It was the most instinctive play I've seen from a defensive tackle since Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, his ability to do that, his ability to recognize things, I think he's the difference. But A'shaun wasn't that dude last year.
No.
A'shaun was a brute. He was a brute force, dominant interior player. But he did not have the instinctual ability to recognize when, you know, Jonathan Allen, when they put him on the same side as Tim Williams, which is completely unfair in those third and long situations. They always have Williams at right end and Allen at right defensive tackle. And what they do is Allen goes on a hard inside move. First off, no guard has the foot speed to handle him, so he can get kind of his space. But he lets Williams kind of go and attack on that edge. And if you step up, it doesn't matter who you are. He's got that first quick step where he can attack. And it's going to be interesting to see if Deshaun can beat that this year, because I think this is a defensive line. This is the best defensive line I've ever seen Nick Saban have. And that's saying something. But this unit is a whole other beast. And if Clemson finds themselves behind the sticks, third and long against this Alabama defense is a no-go. You pretty much just send your punter out. You get him warm.
All right. You mentioned Sue and how he kind of reminds, you know, you haven't seen a defensive tackle make that play like that since Sue, and I agree. But I just wanted to throw this out there as a comp. Somebody who, like, the more I watch Allen, the more he reminds me of, although Allen's a little bit bigger than he was, or maybe not as wide, taller. But when I watch Allen, I see a lot of Tommy Harris. mm-hmm. from when Tommy Harris was at Oklahoma and then when Tommy Harris was at the Bears. And it's just to have a guy like that who's not only just good and smart at what he does, but just to be such a disruptive force on the inside of the defensive line just allows you to do so much elsewhere when you can get that kind of push right up the middle. And Allen to me is – I think Myles Garrett's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, but to me, I have a feeling Allen's going to be the better pro player.
What about Derek Barnett? Didn't everybody just try and say, what about Derek Barnett?
What about Derek Barnett?
Derek Barnett, here's the one thing I'll tell you. I think Myles Garrett would get drafted first based on the potential there.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Allen is a sure thing to be a solid player. I think Derek Barnett's the kind of guy that is the most, I mean, besides Allen, is the most likely to have a solid NFL career. He might not have the higher ceiling that Allen or Garnett or Garrett have, but I think that if you draft Derek Barnett, you've got a guy who, barring injury, is going to be in the NFL with a job for 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, when you draft Garrett, you're hoping he's Clowney.
Yeah.
Clowney a year or two with the injuries.
Comes Von Miller.
I don't know. I mean, Clowney is here. Clowney's been great. I think, you're hoping he's a Khalil Mack, Von Miller. Absolutely. I just think he's a little too big to necessarily have the same impact pass rushing. I think those guys do. But he's also really solid against the run. I think you're saying, okay, let's see if you can be year three Clowney. But there's also the potential that he's not that, you know, and he is a reasonably productive role guy that's a pass rush specialist.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think Barnett, you know, is in the league for a long time and has 40 or 50 sacks minimum. And you're just like, hey, he was a really good player.
Hey, you know, you don't have.
He might not be a perennial Pro Bowler, but he's a dude that every team's going to want. Like, as soon as he becomes a free agent, he'll get paid.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, I like this dude because he's just rock solid. And you know what you get? You get it every week. That's the nice thing about Derek. You know, the one thing you want to see with Miles is the more consistency. But, like, obviously, the ceiling's higher. Like, that's what – and that's what the draft's all about. I think that's the one thing people need to understand is, you know, you don't draft in the top 10 for safe because that's what gets you fired. The thing is, if you're drafting in the top 10, your job's on the line as a GM no matter what because your team was bad and you got to get that thing turned around. And guess what? Solid players don't turn your team around in a year or two. You got to take the swing for the great player. And that's why those guys get drafted. And that's in any sport.
No doubt.
I can't wait until Jonathan Allen falls to 3 and the Bears take
Mitch
Trubisky.
Okay.
Yay.
Mitch. Just throw on that tape.
Mitch better have my money. all right. Game picks. I want scores. I want the way it's going to go down. And the bonus question here, because if you're taking the Tigers, I guess the assumption would be yes, is Deshaun going to be able to let this thing cook? Because 478 yards of total offense a year ago, lose by 5. I don't see a Clemson win result that doesn't have just like a transcendent performance from number 4 in his last game as in a Clemson uniform. Tom, I'm going to let you go first. What you got?
I don't see that performance again. I feel like after Watson had that game against Alabama last year, Nick Saban is going to make a personal point of pride of it this week to make sure that Deshaun Watson does not have that kind of game. And I don't expect him to. I have Alabama winning. I don't even have Clemson covering.
I
have Alabama winning, and I have Alabama covering the spread. And for me, it's just simply the fact that Clemson looked amazing against Ohio State last week. No denying that. It's just I feel like when you watch that game and you saw how Clemson did it, it was just an absolute nightmare matchup for Ohio State. Michael Jordan, the starting left guard, getting hurt really early in the first quarter did not help matters because then they had to bring in a reserve to deal with that Clemson defensive line. They brought the safeties up. Ohio State had no chance of moving the ball. Ohio State's not Alabama. Clemson is also the same team that lost to Pitt and struggled and played a lot of close games this year. You know, it had to come back to beat Louisville. It struggled against Florida State, although it got the win. It struggled against Virginia Tech in the ACC.
Homie, if NC State doesn't miss a couple of chip shot field goals, Clemson's not here.
They lose that game. Yeah, this is still – I mean, they had a month to prepare for Ohio State, and they played a perfect game. They got less than a month this week, and they're playing a much tougher opponent. And I just don't see Clemson being able to go back-to-back with perfect games like that and have that kind of performance. That being said, it's not like I think they're getting blown out. I think they have a legitimate chance to win this game. I just don't see it coming. I think the whole Lane Kiffin thing's being overblown because, yes, Steve Sarkisian has been a coach for 12 years. He's been a head coach for 6. He's been calling plays that whole time. I know he went to rehab, but just because he had to go to rehab for a month or two doesn't mean he forgot how football works. I think he's going to step in and be just fine. I think Alabama's offense will have a much better game than they did against Washington because I think they'll have a much easier matchup against Clemson than they did against that Washington defense. And I think defensively, I am sorry, until I see a team that is able to withstand the onslaught of that Alabama front 7 for a full 60 minutes. I've seen it for a quarter. I've seen it for a half. I've seen it for parts of 3 quarters. Haven't seen anybody do it for 60 minutes. And I'm not ready to sit here and say that Clemson's going to be able to, just because while Clemson has some great defensive linemen, they don't have 13 of them. Alabama does. They just keep bringing more at you throughout the game, and they wear you down. And I think that's going to be the case. I don't expect it to be low scoring, but I don't expect it to be very high scoring either. I think it's going to be Alabama 31, Clemson 23, and Alabama's defense will score a touchdown off of Deshaun Watson interception.
Dag. I had my number set. I had my score set before I even saw the line. I just the games ended on New Year's Eve. I was sitting there in my feels, moving from 2016 to 2017, and I just felt like you can't fight off inevitability. I'm going Alabama 31, Clemson 27. I think it's a game where maybe even Alabama's up big, and then Deshaun Watson starts attacking the prevent defense, leads a furious charge down the stretch. So I've got Clemson covering the spread as we picked this at 6.5. I like getting it at 6.5, but man, I still got Tide winning this thing. But it's almost like if you believe in hope, you believe in Clemson, and I just don't believe in hope against this Alabama team.
No. Nope.
Not at all. All right, what about you?
Alabama. Alabama's the inevitable doom that faces us all.
Mortality.
It is mortality. That is that Alabama defense, and I'm with you. I've got Alabama 27-24. So I have Clemson covering. I think that is more of a hopeful thing than anything else. This is the best quarterback that Alabama will have faced this year, but they also just passed a pretty good test in Jake Browning. Look, this is such a hard defense to crack. You have to be perfect. Last year, Clemson was perfect and lost on offense. They were perfect. You cannot do better, and it wasn't enough. This year, better Alabama defense. Across the board, I think this is a better Alabama defense. This is, I mean, the linebackers are the ones that don't get talked about. And that's Reuben Foster. And that's some boys.
Dude, how about the fact that, like, Reuben Foster, Minka Fitzpatrick, like, Minka Fitzpatrick plays gunner on punt coverage. Like, if this thing comes down to special teams, Alabama's got 5-star future first rounders that are out there on special teams.
And that's why their special teams units are better than yours.
Yeah. I mean, that's you got freshmen that you haven't talked about, you know, on special teams flying down, like the next crop of linebackers. You remember when Reuben Foster was a freshman with that neck roll?
Oh, my God.
running down, cracking people's helmets. That's what, I mean, they got guys doing that. And so I'm with Tom. I don't think Clemson can hang for 4 quarters on the offensive line. This is a good offensive line. They got some good guys, but they have struggled at times this season.
Jonathan Allen is going to eat somebody's lunch.
Jonathan Allen on the inside will have opportunities to pressure Watson. I think Watson throws one of those pick sixes that Tom talked about. He's thrown too many interceptions this year. And like I said, he has played fantastic in a lot of these games. but he's throwing interceptions in though.
Oh, dude, two picks in this game. No doubt, two picks in this game.
He trusts his defense a little too much at times.
Right, and he trusts his arm a little too much at times. Yeah. Against Louisville, he was dynamite and was able to come back from those turnovers. Against Ohio State, it didn't matter. Against Alabama, they turned those turnovers into points. And if not, that flips the field. And against this Alabama defense, you can't let them flip the field with the defense. You have to make the offense flip the field. Mm. We're talking field position and punts, baby. Ugh. That's what I'm talking about. Because if nothing else, if you throw an interception to Alabama on their 40, you're getting it back inside the 10.
Hey, do you know what I hope happens in this game?
There's no points and you get back inside the 10. J.K. Scott, I was watching those majestic punts floating inside the 10 all day long against Washington. It was I was audibly talking to know it. Like Solomon was sitting next to me. He was ignoring me as he should when I'm talking about punts. But I would see one of those things float up near the roof of the Georgia Dome, and I would just go, couldn't help myself. I'd say, that is majestic. And they would just flutter down, and somebody would catch it on the 9-yard line, and all of a sudden you got 91 yards to go.
Against Alabama's defense.
Against Alabama's defense. And guess what? You don't go 91 yards on Alabama's defense. I think, like every game, Clemson's going to script up something early and get a touchdown. First three drives. You can get a touchdown the first three drives against Alabama. Guess what? You better get a touchdown on all three.
Yeah.
They do not do that. They do not do that. Alabama is going to roll on the ground eventually. They wear you down. They wear you down. Because the problem is your offense all of a sudden starts punting in that third and fourth quarter. And it's not just the fact that Alabama has been running into you a lot with big boys. It's the fact that they've been doing it like 40 times because your offense is going three and out. I think Watson has a solid game. I think finally the turnovers come back to haunt him. The thing that scares you if you're an Alabama fan is I do think there's going to be some field goal kicking needed.
In Alabama.
And if there's one team that's had the field goal luck this season, especially against them, it's Clemson. I don't know what Dabo's praying for over there on the sideline, but it's working.
Dabo's just praying that the kicker's all right.
I think there's one missed field goal from Alabama that everybody hollers about in the second quarter, like a 41 yarder. Everybody goes, "Oh no!" And it's like one, and it's like tie game, 7-7. Everybody goes, "Uh oh." Doesn't matter. 27-24.
Nah, it'll be that point shaven Alabama kicker. It just misses a bunch of kicks, and then Alabama just wins by four anyway.
Shaving Griffith.
Just kidding. These are only jokes.
JK, he's professional.
I hope that Clemson punter Andy Teasdale loses his mind like he did in the ACC championship game in 2015 and tries to fake a punt on his own.
If he does that, he might not make it out of Tampa.
Dude, he'd get crushed.
Whether by Dabo or fan.
He might not make it off the field.
You do that against North Carolina, they'll just like make you wait in the back of the line for the VIP section. You do that against Alabama, you get crushed.
Like what, by your coaches or by Alabama because your dumb ass is trying to run for a first down?
I'm saying Alabama because you are a little punter from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thinking that you're going to take on when Reuben Foster's out here trying to crush you and break you in half. Good stuff. All right, so
I was going to say this. Alabama's got to stay head on right. They got chippy, and if this game is close, they can't be having the personal fouls they had late against Washington.
Ooh.
I'll say that much. Because we know Clemson likes to try to get you.
Oh, they like to grab something
with some fingers. So they got to keep the head on right when Ben Bowler's in there giving you a prostate exam.
I'll take storylines I was not expecting to cover title week for 800, please. Goodness gracious. I did not know that we would be talking about grabbing groins leading up to the biggest game of the season.
We wouldn't be if it wasn't for the way Ben Bowler answered the question about it.
Oh, heck yeah. We do that just for fun. It's a serious game.
I mean, Jesus, man.
You can at least pretend you don't do it.
Right.
You don't gotta be honest.
It's just playing grab ass out there all day long. That's what we do. If it's you don't understand football. Grab ass, you've never been in a locker room. That's all we do. We shower with each other and we grab asses. That's it.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We will try to link back up next week, reviewing what we saw, what is ahead, the deep, dark off season. But for now, make best of luck to all of you. It doesn't matter about you two, because guess who's already locked up the expert picks title? My perfectly mediocre 147 and 147 will be put on the line.
This game is huge because, like, will our winner finish above 500?
It's like the NFC West from 4 years ago.
You'll have lost. We've all lost to the rake no matter what, but will we at least finish over 500?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, because I got Solomon's at 145, so I'm two games clear, everybody. Looks like I got that. Got that ship locked up with my mediocrity.
Buckets at Jesters for Chip.
This is the absolute worst year I've ever had in expert pick. And I started off so well.
So confident, too. Just talking.
From mid-October on, just...
Didn't you storm back in the bowl season a little bit?
No. Bowl season was awful.
Oh, yeah, your bowl season was real bad. You were 15-24.
Yeah, I didn't even go 500 straight up in bowl season.
It's all right. Dodd went 14-25.
Well, better than Dennis.
Solomon's,
deal with it.
Solomon's late charge with the 23-16, just riding a heater. All right, guys. Hey, he is Robbie Callen. Follow him at R. Callen. He is Tom Fornelli. Follow him at Tom Fornelli. Make sure that you subscribe to the SEC on CBS podcast so you can link back up. Thanks, gents.
Thank you.